Victor Hovland deserves $500,000 for that read.
Right. J.J. Spahn on hole two Sunday got the worst break you could get as a golfer. He went from possibly holing out a wedge to it knocking off the flagstick coming down. To then on 18, he hits a beautiful iron up there. Victor Hovland hits it a foot behind his ball. If you don't believe in the golf gods, if you don't believe things happen for a reason, like that's a perfect example in the game of golf. Like that's just how the way of golf works. Victor Hovland hit a great putt. It was a 60-something footer. And J.J. Spahn literally said it could not have been a better situation, especially when you have to two-putt to win a major.
Welcome back to another episode of the Loggerhead Golf Podcast. As you can see on the table in front of us, we've got, a popular putter right now. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of buzz on last week where we talked about the release of the Spider ZT. And obviously, our biggest comparison was it was TaylorMade's ode to the zero torque putters, which, if not, we have the most popular one in front of us right now at the moment because it is the first lab putter to win a major championship, yep. Which is the DF3 model. And specifically today, we're going to be talking about the DF3. Because we did a video kind of talking about the new release of the Oz. And I know we've done some lab videos in the past, but we just figured it'd be a great opportunity to kind of roll with what's been given to us by the recent success and keep carrying on to this putter conversation.
Yeah, I mean, we keep saying the year putting, but how wild is it that Lab as a company, they've taken off so fast that if you look every week now, there's more and more players. And again, uncontracted. That's the key thing is, and a lot of people at home will always, well, you're getting paid to say that, or they're getting paid to use it. They're not.
Oh, besides Adam Scott.
Yeah, well, he's part of the company at this point. But I mean, we've seen, 10 events so far this season where all five major tours, Lab's been inside the top 10, and now we've got a major under the belt with J.J. Spahn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that speaks to, it's not a fad anymore. It's factual. It's here to stay.
Yeah, I mean, we've said it before. Tour validation doesn't necessarily mean anything, but yes, it does hold weight. It definitely holds some weight, which come to kind of talking about putting, right? There was two guys making putts coming down the stretch, and they finished 1 and 2,
yep,
in the U.S. Open on that back nine. I mean, it, truly unbelievable stuff, and J.J. Spahn was rolling the rock from day one.
Yep.
But so we have the putters here in front of us. I mean, what do you kind of want to dive into with it?
I mean, I think my favorite part, the nickname for the DF3 is called the Gimme Getter.
Yeah.
And then Sam.
My favorite part of my putter.
Sam, the CEO, came out because a lot of people were trolling the look of it. And they were saying it's a toilet seat. And being someone that's open for criticism, he made a video, goes, I see what you're saying. We'll call it the shitter hitter instead.
Yeah.
And so, like, he was able to, like, take a negative and turn it into a positive. But essentially, the point of the DF3 was that high MOI putter. Their highest MOI putter is the DF2, the original putter.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not everybody likes the look of a spaceship.
I think Ricky switched from the DF3 to the DF2.
Correct.
.1. Yeah.
But they wanted something that's more eye-appealing, right? And I think for the most part, what we've seen, I mean, we place orders almost daily with Lab. DF3 by far is the most popular putter.
Really?
It's been awesome.
Yeah, I would say from personal experience, I've been using mine for the last year or so. Anytime I go to a different lab, like if I go to the Oz, the Oz doesn't feel quite as stable as, the DF3 head, which I know technically the science is the exact same, but I just feel like having slightly that larger head just gives you a little bit more stability when you're swinging. I mean, that's the whole point why mallet putters were created, right? Was to just increase a little bit of stability throughout the stroke, but also enhanced alignment, right? I've tried to go away from mine. Like I made the joke about, I know I said, you know, if I could have got the Spider ZT when I bought my Lab, I would have bought the Spider ZT because the Pure Roll insert. But like, I still believe that. But at the same time, there's no reason for me to change my putter right now just because I know what I'm getting with it.
Yep.
My only critique on the DF3, is it's soft. So I feel like more often than not, putts come up short with it. What was your biggest gripe with JJ Spahn earlier this year?
He, especially at the Players, my golden rule of thumb as a putting coach is never leave a putt short. Especially
sure.
Especially for birdie or to win a major golf tournament. And more often than not, most people tend to decelerate putters.
Yeah.
So having a, you know, that's where the Oz eye, I mean, obviously it takes time for R&D and lab really has not had a lot of spare time, and I'm not making an excuse for him, but.
Sounds like you are.
To try to keep up with production.
You're such a lab thumper.
You know, they just haven't because they've got something new coming down the pipeline as well.
Yeah. I mean, so like that's kind of the only thing with the DF3 is it with it just being the full aluminum head, it has a super soft feel. So sometimes, you know, speed control can be different day to day. I'll be honest, other than when like the gun goes off in my hand, I can't remember the last putt I've had, like a meaningful putt that I just blasted by the hole. Now my style of putting, I like to die putt. So like, I really don't care if I leave a putt short, like anything outside of 10 feet, you got less than a 20% chance of making. So it doesn't really matter at that point. But, you know, it's funny, like you could see kind of what's going on now. I think Kevin Kisner said something amazing this weekend because JJ Spahn had a putt and they were talking about on the broadcast this putter. They didn't name it, but they were like that back set putter where Kevin Kisner goes, yeah, I've been messing around with these putters. He goes, the only critique with them, he goes, is because the shaft is back set and you can't really forward press, the ball's going to jump off the face. He said it. And then less than a second later, JJ Spahn hit a putt and the ball just like jumps. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, son of a gun. I feel like my ball is always bouncing off the face. Now, I like to forward press. And he essentially says, like, no matter what, doesn't matter how much loft your putter has, you know, with that shaft being back and then you have any rise angle, the ball is going to jump no matter what, whether you have 0 degrees of loft or things like that. And I just thought, like, that was one of those moments that, like, one, kudos to Kevin Kisner. Like, he's amazing in the booth, but kind of showed this exact design. Like, you saw Adam Scott had a lot of balls just jumping immediately off the face. Like, that would be my – and I think that probably goes back into the speed control. Like, that's my only thing with lab putters and what I've seen throughout the last year with my DF3 is it's hit or miss if the ball gets rolling super early. Like, you still have to make a damn good stroke, essentially, is what I'm saying. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, let's talk about that 63-footer.
Yeah.
On 18.
Yeah, I think we read a post before we opened up the mic this morning. It said Victor Hovland deserves $500,000 for that read.
Yeah.
Minus he had two putts to win. So, but still, I think what was the funniest thing is we always talk about, you know, the balance because this thing always wants to return to where it goes down that target line. When JJ threw the putter in the air, somebody snapped a photo. And as the putter's flying through there, the face is staying square the entire time.
I'm not going to dive too – really?
Yeah, like, it was hilarious.
That's wild.
So hopefully he didn't snap that TPT shaft, but I know where he can get a new one at.
Yeah, I think he's fine. I think they have plenty for those guys.
But it was pretty funny to see him literally chunk the putter and the face is going through the air just dead square.
Mm-hmm.
So –
yeah, I think honestly, like the putter itself, I'm surprised that there's not more DF3s being played on tour. It definitely seems like it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, well, I think on the PGA Tour we see a lot more Mezzes, but on the LPGA there's a lot more DF3s.
Yeah. Why not as many Ozzes?
I think it's just it's tough. I mean, like me personally, now that they have the non-insert Oz, like I prefer the non-insert because the insert feels so hot.
I don't think the insert feels good. A guy, another golf club reviewer or whatever commented, like when I was talking about the insert, he's like, well, why haven't you tried the, and I was like, well, we have. Like,
no.
We 100% have tried the Oz. I just feel like they're supposed to be different, but they're drastically different, right? Like that Oz doesn't quite feel like any other milled putter. Like, it just doesn't have the firm feel of a milled putter, like if you just got a Futura. But, I mean, I still think it's the best looking.
Yeah, but I mean, visually, and it has the most alignment aids.
I probably think that's the only reason why they went with the Oz, is they had to get a putter out there that was visually appealing to the general golfing public.
I still think the most interesting part of it is
nice.
Adam Scott
yeah.
designed it, but doesn't use it. I mean, I know he's tried it, and he's had this weird video. He uses a standard length Oz at home to practice.
I'll be the first to tell you, if you've putted with a DF3 or a Mez, and then you got the Oz doesn't feel anywhere near as stable as the other two, which for a sweeper, hashtag broomstick, stability is everything.
Yeah.
Right? And obviously, we have two alternative putting models here. Like, I think there's more, broomstick, Mezes, Mez Max.
Yeah, it's still the Mez Max. Else. Yeah, Zalatoris.
I was blanking on the name. But, you know, like, again, it's just like one of those things that, I mean, when you're custom fitting putters, the reason why the DF3 comes out is, one, I feel like the alignment aids look the best on it. It's like the proportion of the head is the right size to do certain alignment aids. Like right here, you have three lines, right? Now this is like the wider version of the triple track, but you know, I did my own little customized line on top because I had the sight dot. Didn't want to have to wait 12 weeks for a new one just to get a different alignment aid, but you know, it's one of those things that it's just super easy to personalize to your eye. Come around from that. Something interesting there?
Yeah.
Very nice.
It's a zero torque text message.
Oh, there you go.
ZTs can be customized starting September 1st.
Wow. Were you allowed to say that? Don't care.
Yeah.
anything else we want to add to this putter?
No, I mean, it's a solid lineup. I mean, obviously the disclosure, as soon as you pull up Lab's website and we tell everybody, the moment you place your order, forget that you placed that order for 8 to 10 weeks. And it's probably going to
forget about
get worse.
Money leaving your bank account.
Yeah. It's probably going to get worse now that they've got a major under the belt. Because I'm in the Lab Rats Facebook group, and not even 5 minutes after he won, 30-plus posts, which that's the annoying part of Facebook groups, 30-plus posts. What's his specs? I want to order his specs. What's his specs? Well, his putting stroke's a little bit different. And the entire point of Lab, and Sam's done a great job in Lab as a whole, is to get fit for the correct lie angle. JJ Spahn is not the tallest person in the world. So if you've got a guy that's 6'6", ordering his specs, it's probably not going to work out too well.
Yeah. Yeah, I say I took the press grip, the pistol off of mine and put a conventional grip on it. Just a mid-size, what are those? Gripmaster grips?
Yeah. The leather.
Yeah, the leather. And putting with that, without the press grip, honestly, I think it sets up even better. But, like, again, you have to make it personalized to yourself.
Yep.
You know, more importantly than anything. Now, are you doing more conventional models or more counterbalance,
still
sweeper, arm lock?
More conventional.
Yeah.
When you get into the arm lock thing, once you fit somebody, it's good luck from there.
Should Bryson switch to an arm lock DF3?
Well, he's unofficially tested a bunch of these and just has not switched.
Yeah.
Because
he putted terrible this week.
He didn't do a lot good this week.
Yeah, that was a little deflating. That was my pick.
Four fairways in 2 days.
Should Scotty Scheffler switch to a DF3?
Be worth seeing.
I'd
especially now that he's using
think
the
about
ball.
From like how dominant of a player he is right now. Have you like that's the only thing with him? Like, we didn't see Tiger Woods missing 2 footers, right?
No, nope.
Like, and that was a little alarming this week.
Scheffler missed 5 putts inside of 5 feet and had 6 3-putts,
and
that's a lot.
Lost by 5.
Yeah, so
right?
Like, he statistically putted the worst and still almost. Like,
I mean,
he's still backdoor top,
he's still,
10.
He's still 7th. Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and John Rahm. Like, John Rahm didn't make anything. So, I'll wonder to see if you see more players switch over to the DF3.
Well, you're seeing it in the practice rounds. I mean, people are kind of roll a putt with that. Like, you're seeing the conversations.
I think there was a video, like, again, I could be wrong. Most likely am wrong. I think JJ Spahn was, like, testing a blade like earlier in the week, just going back to like a Newport or something like that, which like which is funny because
like I said, there's something like, coming down the pipeline from lab.
I would say I truly believe that these DF3, like the DF3 has made my putting stroke better. Now, that being said, like with these putters, you still have to make a good stroke to hit it online. So, I mean,
but then do they make it easy?
Yeah. And again, I'm a streaky putter. Like because one, I don't practice my putting. I'll practice a line. I'll practice alignment and start line, and that's about it. But I truly think this putter is kind of easy way to make yourself having a better putter stroke. I'll say it's one of the few putters that can do it. Miles just asked a wonderful question, and this kind of goes into the U.S. Open a little bit. How important is it to see another person roll a putt on a similar line to yours or go past the hole? Did Victor Hovland's putt on the 72nd hole like play any influence to JJ Spahn? Well, JJ Spahn came out and said 1,000%. Right, JJ Spahn on hole two Sunday got the worst break you could get as a golfer. He went from possibly holing out a wedge to it knocking off the flagstick coming down, to then on 18, you know, he hits a beautiful iron up there. Victor Hovland hits it a foot behind his ball. Right, if you don't believe in the golf gods, if you don't believe things happen for a reason, like that's a perfect example in the game of golf. Like, you know, things happen. So like Victor Hovland hit a great putt. It was a 60 something footer, right? And JJ Spahn literally said, he goes, like, it could not have been a better situation. Especially when you have to two putt to win a major, your first major.
From 67 feet.
So yes, those professional golfers, if they have another ball, to answer your question, Miles. If they have another ball on their line, they're going to watch. Now, that being said, there's some guys that I know that do not watch other players hit their putts, because technically speaking, there's guys out there that play that have like push reads and pull reads and things like that, right? So you don't want to put too much emphasis on reading every single one, because you don't make the same putting stroke as they do. Right now, if you've played 18 holes with a guy like Victor Hovland and JJ Spahn did, where you've watched this guy putt all day, you're like, this guy's hitting his line. If he hits a good putt, I'm going to see what this does. Like, by all means, right? Go for it. I mean, JJ Spahn literally said that was like, he will take it. He's not going to say it was unfair that he got a read, but like, that's just how the way of golf works. Anything else you want to add to that?
Nope.
I mean, do you watch other people when you putt?
I watch my own putts. I mean, because if you miss one, you can, or like even hitting a wedge shot, no. Like you're hitting a chip from around the green. If you watch it roll past, you can kind of get a. Now, if it's going Mach 5, obviously it's irrelevant, but I tend to, yes.
Yeah, I guess that would be the coach in me would say, like, if this guy's speed control is terrible and the ball rolls more than 3 feet past the hole, don't pay attention to what his line did. Right, like, because
at that point he's taking the line out with the speed.
Correct, like speed dictates line. So if the speed isn't good on the putt, that line they just hit it on is irrelevant. Because you could hit your putt at a great speed, and if you went off of his line, then you could get a equally as big of a miss. So yep. That's the beauty of this game. There's no easy part to it, right? Show and tell.
Tell and show.
Mixed bag. U.S. Open champion JJ Spahn has a golf bag full of products from 5 different brands, from Lab to Strixon. Title is tailor-made in Cleveland. What do you think of this setup? Now, I'm going to put air quotes 5. He technically has 4 brands because Cleveland and Strixon are the same company. So, but what do you put to that?
I mean,
what do we preach here?
Literally, this is what we do every day, all day is, and because, I mean, everybody makes good stuff right now.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. Yeah. And Titleist has never been a company that has dominated the driver and metalwoods market on tour.
They are dominating.
And the last 2 models from TSR and GT3, all your uncontracted players are playing it. Like, it is insane.
Titleist right drivers are dominating the amateur game and dominating the professional game. Don't give a shit what My Golf Spy says.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those drivers are by far probably the best drivers on the market right now. And for, not again, tour validation doesn't mean much, but it's just that's the first thing I pointed out when they showed JJ Spahn this week. I was like, GT3. And what won him the tournament?
Hitting fairways too.
That drive on 17 yeah. and the drive on 18. Like, not it wasn't the driver. It was how confident he is with his swing and stuff. But like, this is what we do here, right? Like, if you truly go in with an unbiased fitting and get fit to what works best for you, minimally, you're going to have maybe 2-3 brands in your back.
Yep. It is very rare now that we do one brand all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and to be honest, if you go to a facility that only fits one specific brand, that's already kind of, it's almost like going to a demo day. That's kind of a red flag already. Mm-hmm. So, because if truly one brand was the best, why does the number one player in the world have 3 brands? Why, you know, I mean, almost every player on tour now has minimally 2 brands in his bag.
Yeah. I mean, and it's
they
just
can sign a contract for how much money they want, but they're choosing not to.
Well, you also have guys that are in contracts that throw stuff in their bags, like that probably got their contracts tweaked for a club.
Well, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah. Perfect example.
GT3 driver.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's,
I mean, I think Dustin Johnson was using
GT3 a GT3 driver.
Yeah, he was using a like Dustin Johnson not using a TaylorMade driver like says something.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been one of the best drivers of the golf ball. Now, I know he's not playing amazing golf, but he says he's getting back into it, but like I will say it is my opinion, right? It's an opinion. Take it with a grain of salt. Like Titleist is the best driver in the game for every level of golfer from GT1s all the way up to GT3. They finally got it right with the GT3. The TSR3 was not a good driver. The weight was too far back in the head. So it just, you didn't get that low spin performance that the new GT3 does. But I mean, to this point, like this JJ Spahn's bag, and I would say like his 170s ball speed is not relatable, but JJ Spahn should be relatable to the everyday golfer, right? He's not the longest on tour. He's not the most accurate. He's one of the most accurate over the last 6 months, but like, the dude's a grinder. The dude almost lost his tour card last year. The guy's played, like, you go look up his major schedule. The guy's barely played any majors, right? So, like, if he has a mixed bag like this to maximize his performance, why aren't you, right? I kind of ask myself that question every now and then. I'm like, do I need to be playing all this Callaway stuff? The answer's probably no, right? I'm sure there's something better out there, but you know, maybe I should practice what we preach. Now, I have 3 brands in my bag. Callaway, I have 1. but kind of makes the whole point of what we do here, right?
Yep. I mean, not to call people out, but you're always going to have your loyalists, and there's nothing wrong with that. But
you spend your money however you want.
Yeah, we're not financial advisors, clearly. But, for example, if you walk in and you're like, I only want the TaylorMade driver.
We're not going to argue.
You didn't try the Titleist and you hit 4 balls with it and it's 18 yards longer and carry and more accurate, by being so single-minded, you're leaving that on the table without even knowing. And we do see that happen. We'll sneak mm-hmm. something in a fitting and somebody hits it thinking they're still hitting a TaylorMade or whatever fitting they wanted. And then they look at the bottom club and it's like, oh, I didn't realize we changed brands. So,
yeah. I mean, it's, you have to try other stuff. Now, I will say I'll leave it one thing kind of on the JJ Spahn, because I think this was super cool just from my background. JJ Spahn's swing coach talked about how his superpower is how he uses the ground and using force plates and things like that. And he said because of JJ Spahn's skateboarding background is why in the golf swing his superpower is using the ground. Like he said, his footwork is just absolutely amazing. So the inner skateboarder in me, like, I think that was actually
so everybody cool. should go get a skateboard today.
No, everybody should come see me to get on the swing Catalyst to understand how you use the ground more efficiently. That's essentially what I'm saying. And, or get on a skateboard
for golf or for skating.
Don't, but little cool note.
So Tony Hawk should play golf.
I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at almost everything he does. I mean, Ryan Scheckler is a good golfer. I mean, we can go on this topic all day, but right. Let's close it at that because we got to work.
Well, cool. Well, if you haven't already, like and subscribe, turn on those push bell notifications. Check out our website for all your custom build needs, and we will catch you on the next episode. Peace.